And so this morning, I want to talk to you about being unshakable. Can you put my PowerPoint up there for me, please? You know, we've talked about the worship and the word and the warfare, and I've talked to you a little bit about the ministry. How many know that to do anything in life, you're going to have to take a stand? I mean, you know, there are easy points in your life where you can go get a job and do. But to accomplish something, to truly accomplish something, you're going to have to take a stand. And you're going to have to figure out that that stand that you take has got to be as unshakable as you can be. Because life sucks at times. There are things that happen sometimes. How many have used the poopy emoji for life at times? Thank you, Dr. Tony. Many, many times we see that come about. But you know what? The thing is, about being unshakable doesn't mean that we haven't been knocked down. We didn't get a bruise. We didn't get a scrape. Let me just, I meant to say this. The drama, oh my gosh. Wow. I cried yesterday, and I thought, okay, I'll videotape it today. And I started crying again. So I'm like, trying to videotape the drama. And so, just powerful. And I looked at that, and yeah, powerful. And I looked at that massive angel getting beat up on all the evil that's trying to bombard that family, and I thought, we're going to get bombarded. There's going to be times. There's going to be things. There's going to be bumps and scratches and maybe broken bones, and there's going to be ups and downs. If you don't want that, probably should find an island all by yourself and just decide you're going to live off bananas and coconuts. Because life is life. And if you think ministry is easy, if you think doing this is easy, I came out of the fire and rescue and search and rescue system, and sometimes I thought maybe I should go back into that because it was a little bit different over there at times. I've had people say, man, I just want to get in ministry. You serve with Christians, and I'm like, yeah, I just want to shoot that fish at times. I really want to shoot the fish. So if I see the fish on your business card, I'm usually concerned. Hopefully no one has the fish on their business card. So what does it mean to be unshakable? Definition of unshakable is not possible to weaken or get rid of, not able to be shaken. Does not say we won't get bumps and bruises and scratches and all of those types of things. It does not say that life is not going to be rough and not going to happen. What it does say is it's not possible to weaken or get rid of. Guess what? You're stuck with me. You can't get rid of me. We're family, right? Look to the person to your left and to your right. This is who God has put us with. This is our family. This is our friends. God's kids should be this. You can't get rid of me. You can yell and you can scream. My wife has kicked and pushed me and said, leave me alone numerous times. I just don't leave. Well, that's the way we should be about God's word. I'm here. Suck it up and deal with it. If someone's trust or belief is unshakable, it is firm, and it cannot be made weaker or destroyed. But it still doesn't mean that life is not going to happen. It still doesn't mean that you're not going to have the encounters that don't feel good. The mornings that you wake up and you think, this isn't what I signed up for. It's life is life. We have an enemy. Deal with it. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Deal with it. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says we already have the victory. And so we need to remind ourselves that at all things and at all times, no matter how bad it looks, we already have the victory. No matter how long you dealt with that. You think of how long that man rested at the pool of Bethesda before his transition happened. You think about that for a second. You think about the life of Joseph and how long that was. You think about all those things. You know, we want instant. We want microwave popcorn and TV dinner. God, this is my prayer. Throw it in, hit the button 20 seconds later, boom, got it. And if we don't get it, we wonder, what happened? Why did this happen? Why? I don't get it. Why did this happen? I was in Guatemala in November of 98 when the airplane crashed. To this day, I have refused to ask why. I have absolutely refused to ask why. If God wants me to know, He'll tell me. I know that He didn't need another flower in the little garden. He didn't need another little fat cherub flying around heaven. All the stupid things that I've heard people say, not it. Good things or bad things happen to good people. It does. I can't answer all those questions. We can't answer all the questions why someone took their own life. April 23rd of this year, 7:30 a.m., my mom took her life. I have no idea why. I don't know why that six-year struggle took her out. I have no idea why. But I do know what I saw in that drama reflects the battle of life and what we go through. And we are bombarded from every side, male and female, young and old. Life is life. And Satan comes 24/7, 365 to kill, steal, and destroy. And if someone tells me, you know, I never have any problems. I never have any issues. Life is so easy. Hey, what the heck are you doing? You should write a book on how to divert the kingdom and still get into heaven. Life is life. And so I want to play a song. I'm not going to sing and I'm not going to play because it would cause church to end really quick. So, but this song, when I heard this song, I was in a hotel room in California getting ready to minister. And this song just came up in, I don't know how I actually got to it. But it was a powerful song. I want you to listen to the words. Not the video. I want you to listen to the words.
You are the constant.
Yeah, when I heard that song, the whole song felt so anointed to me. But the words, you are the constant in every wind of change. And then who you are is who you are, and who you are is who you always will be. Note those scriptures and go back and look them up. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is the constant. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what struggles, what trials, what tribulations, no matter what the winds are doing, no matter how strong the storms are blowing, no matter how loud it gets and what it feels like and what it may look like, God never changes. In every situation, in every circumstance, the only change that enters in that negative portion realm is the change that we allow to come in. It's what we fall into. He does not change. He is the constant. He is the same. No matter what goes on, he is who he said he is, and he is who he said he always will be. So who is he? He's our Redeemer. What is a Redeemer? A Redeemer is a person who redeems, buys back to free from captivity. That's who he is. So when I'm struggling and I'm lost and all those things that are going on, how many have been reminded of past failures and sins? How many need to repent for lying right now? I can raise both hands and both feet, you know? I have fallen short. I have messed up. But thank God, he is my Redeemer. He paid a price at the cross that throughout eternity has redeemed me and made me righteous and whole. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ did it so I don't have to. He paid the price. He paid the ultimate price. So I don't have to pay that price. All those that are struggling today, that are sitting in church buildings around the world today going, oh God, I'm unworthy. I'm just so bad. I'm horrible. How sad that is. Because there are church buildings all around the world that people are doing that this day. They don't see the worthiness of who they are in Christ Jesus. He has redeemed us. And every time you say, I'm just a horrible, unworthy person, you're slapping the face of Jesus and saying, what you did wasn't enough. That's right. What he did was more than enough. He is our strength. Strength is the quality or state of being strong, the capacity for exertion and endurance, the power to resist the forces of attack. Psalms 28:7 tells us, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with a song, I will praise his name. So no matter what was going on, what did we do? We worshiped. We stood on the word. And he becomes our strength in warfare. I watched that angel up here who took all that evil. And yesterday, when whoever it was that ran and jumped on his back, I thought, man, I wish I'd have had that on video. I thought, I felt that. I mean, I watched that drama and I felt that. I felt the message of that drama. If you didn't feel the message of it, I got the video. We need to talk. He is our healer. Praise God that whatever you're going through today, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, he has healed us. Healer is the one that heals. How hard is that? He has made us free from injury and disease. He has made us sound, whole, and restored our health. 1 Peter 2:24 and so many other scriptures tell us this. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died for our sins, might live for righteousness, and by whose stripes that we were healed. No matter what is going on in your body, no matter what the doctor tells you is happening, guess what? You're healed. The only time you have to accept the doctor's report The only time you have to accept that report is when you don't want to accept that report. There's a living testimony of God's goodness and grace right there in that basket. I don't know how you could even be in this church and think that God is not a healer. I just, oh man, I got chills. Dang. He is our supplier, suppliers to provide for, to make available for us, to satisfy the needs. Philippians 4:19 tells us, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is our supplier. He is the one that has opened the doors of opportunity. He's the one that opens the doors of favor. He's the one that opens those doors that we can step into and take hold of that. He is our supplier. He is our peace. Thank God he is our peace. You can turn on the media. You can pull open your emails. You can look at social media and look at a world that is lost and just trying to figure out, what do I do next? Sing a song, get into the Word, and get ready for battle. How hard is it? He is our peace. A peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance or state of security. I look at the media and they say, oh, if we do this, it'll fix it. Really? Who declared you God all of a sudden? It hasn't worked yet, whatever we've done. Why don't we try this at that level and see what happens? Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. When you want to know who you are in Christ Jesus, there it is. When you want to know how you should act, there it is. When you look at the situations that are going on in your life, that's how you do it right there. This scripture, when I read this scripture, as I was preparing for this teaching, I also found a video to go with it. And in the evening came, or Mark 4:35 through 40, it says, as the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. How many have some storms going on in their life today? Some things that are going on. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, do you not care that we are going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence. One word. I mean, I can just picture it. Be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, why were you afraid? Do you still have no faith? What a great illustration. When I watched this video, really? He's going to lay down and take a nap. How many have ever been on a boat in the middle of a storm? No? Walked down the hull of a cruise ship one time and it was like this, tilted. peace. We cannot downsize our God in the face of life's problems. We cannot. How many of any ever heard anybody say, I know God, but this might be bigger than him? The cringing fact of we look at a problem and we think, oh, God's not big enough. Or, oh, God doesn't have time. Well, as soon as I think that God doesn't have time, then I suddenly tagged him in the fact of maybe God's not omnipresent. Maybe he's not all over. Maybe he didn't know the beginning from the end. I cannot downsize my God. The only unshakable life is the one that's built on God's unshakable word. Worship, word, and warfare. We must anchor ourselves in it. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first, or seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give us everything that we need. Who are we seeking today? When we started thinking about what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Who did we seek? So when I started praying about this, I started thinking about, okay, what are some unshakable factors? An unshakable life can only be built on Christ, the only sure foundation. If your job is your security, if your retirement is your security, if the Social Security system is your security, I'm really sorry. If you have anything other than Jesus Christ as your foundation and your security, then guess what? It's time to readjust course. Psalm 61, 1 and 2 says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress, where I will never be shaken. Number two, an unshakable life must be built on kingdom attitudes. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 tells us in the English Standard Version, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at the life of Jesus and follow it. Sad thing is, we look at the world. That's why when you go to a bookstore, the self-help section is like one of the biggest sections in the best-selling books. It's because someone is looking someone to mimic their life after. And then we look at the life of Jesus and we get daunted thinking, he was perfect. How can I do that? By his grace. Because his grace is all sufficient. An unshakable life is built on the eternal and not the temporal. Whatever's going on in your life today, it's very temporary. No matter how it may feel, no matter how it may seem, it is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we do not look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. The battle that was going on in that drama was not in the eyes of what we could see. It was in the eyes of what we can't see. And the battles that are in our life, we focus on a symptom or a situation, and we lose track of the fact that it's something else that we're actually battling against. It's not that situation. It's not that person. It's the spiritual side that's in that. That's what we are waging war against. So living an unshakable life doesn't mean that there won't be mountains before us. If that was the case, we would not have Mark 11:23. That scripture came alive in me when I first got born again and has stayed alive in me ever since. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. If you cannot believe that scripture, how can you believe that I can confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Think about it. Because the biggest mountains we face are not aches and pains, deformities, and struggles and strifes. It's the fact of our redemption and our righteousness. So in our life, we want to be unshakable. We want to live our life in a way that's unshakable. But we have to know that I can't do it on my own. I can't. I can't fix it. I can't do it. I can only mess it up and make it worse. And in Luke, if anybody has not heard of the song Reckless, you really need to go watch the video and get a revelation of what it talks about in Luke, where it talks about the 99 and the 1. And I've used that at the altar calls the last 2 days. I've never used it before this conference because it truly, in the last few weeks or so, really has come alive in me to the power of what that means. And when we stand here in this place and we talk about what the Word of God talks about at salvation, is we're confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are truly believing in the fact that He paid the price for my sin, my redemption, all the way through the placement of eternal life into my life. That's what I'm trusting and have my faith in. I am the one. I am the one. December of 1991, I was the one. When I stood in that service, and saw what I saw and saw that man laughing and all that he was doing and having fun serving Jesus and not hitting me on the head telling me I was going to go to hell, I saw something. I became the one. That revelation that I was the one. Today, you are the one. And whether it's your salvation or whether it's your relationship or whether it's your physical body or ministry or job or whatever it is, you are the one. And Jesus Christ showed up here today just for you. And as you step into that place, as you take a hold of, I am the one. As you take hold of, I am that one. Then all of heaven rejoices in the fact that I realized who I am in Christ Jesus and the newness of life that I have. And so I would ask right now that you stand to your feet. And I want to ask you a question. Everybody within the sound of my voice, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Because we can talk about eternal life, and we can talk about healing, and we can talk about peace, and we can talk about living an unshakable life. But until we make Him our Lord and Savior, there's no eternal life. There's no eternal hope. It's all based on the world. It's all based on the next so-called guru. All of those things. We have a world full of gurus that don't know anything. Every time I see someone say, I'm an expert at this, my wife won't let me use the word idiot, but did I say that? Oh, man. Sorry.